It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Since we are 3 weeks away from Thursday to get the first NFL game, Mac is super excited. He might be there as a media member.
Very excited.
Please wear pants.
Of course.
Yeah, and not a signed hat.
This isn't my first rodeo.
I once went to a game as a press member, and a guy went with had a signed Derek Thomas Chiefs hat.
Nice.
He's going to go in the Saints locker room with it.
Yeah, that's good. That's
good call. Was there. He saw it. You were bringing up something. What's our favorite Super Bowls?
Yeah, I just wanted to know what your favorite Super Bowl win was.
The first one.
That was yours?
Absolutely. It was the first one. Yeah, it was his first Super Bowl, man. We hadn't experienced that. That was the first one. You'll never forget your first, right?
It was incredible.
Yeah. And then I probably think the Eagles is my second favorite.
And then the most recent one.
And then the most recent one, yeah. Kind of in chronological order. Maybe, I don't know, this one went to overtime. You know,
can they win a
three-peater? It's just the fact that we're debating over which Super Bowl win is our favorite.
We're so spoiled.
Yeah.
You guys just don't understand how rough it was 30 years being a Chiefs fan. They sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Now they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. Reverse Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Back in my day, they were America's team, and they were great.
Nope, not
now
anymore.
They suck.
Well, Dallas Cowboys blow.
Yeah. Well, just waiting for the last leaf to fall.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
I think Trey Lance could be an all-star. Well, it's all pro is what they call it, Jerry.
Yeah.
Hidden back in Arkansas. Speaking of disastrous starts, the New York Jets, is it over before it begins again?
Oh my God. I tweeted yesterday, for a team that has accomplished literally nothing on the field ever.
Yeah.
They are really good at having off the field stories. They are peak when it comes to being jackasses off the field. Like, this organization can't get out of its own way. They are an absolute dumpster fire, cluster bleep, whatever, you know, adjective you want to use to describe the
bunch
Jets.
Of horseradish.
That's what they are. And yesterday, this Hassan Reddick thing is just unbelievable. And now he wants to be traded from the Jets months after being traded to the Jets from the Philadelphia Eagles. The fact that the Jets didn't have a long-term contract worked out with this gentleman before making the trade with the Philadelphia Eagles is grounds for termination if you're the general manager of the New York Jets. That's just stupid. You're an idiot if you make a trade for a player on a one-year contract who is holding out with his current team and you didn't have a deal in place to extend him and give him a new contract and you thought he was just going to come in here because it was a different color green and suited up and play for the Jets. Like, that Douglas guy, I think his name is Hugh Douglas, Douglas, the GM of the Jets.
Joe Douglas.
That guy's a moron. He is a moron sandwich, and the meat in the moron sandwich is an idiot. I mean, like, that's where we are right now. Like, how stupid can you be as a general manager to trade for a guy on an expiring contract before you have a trade done?
Time out. We have a new food item?
That's right. It's a moron sandwich, and the meat's an idiot.
Meat's an idiot.
And it does not come on a brioche bun?
No, this one does not. This comes on stale bread that you found it like at the heel of the bread. It's the heel of the keto bread.
This is from Connor Hughes, the guy that covers the Jets and the Giants and everything in New York. The Jets were informed by Hassan Reddick representation that he would report and play under his current contract. That obviously has not happened. They let Reddick know they were open to adjusting his current deal, but only when he showed up. They would not commit to him until he committed to them. The Jets will not cater to a player who has never played a down for them before.
Then don't make the trade!
Understandable, considering the message that would send to others in the locker room.
What message is that?
Also want a new deal. DJ Reed, Michael Carter, etc.
Everybody wants, let me break you the news, Connor. Mm-hmm. Everybody in sports and in life wants a better deal than what they have right now. That's called human nature.
And the best part about their response is, quote, the Jets will not cater to a player who has never played a down for them before. It's hilarious considering the Aaron Rodgers experience.
Yeah, right, exactly. True. Yeah, right.
What?
Yeah. Aaron, what do you need, sir? Yes,
Rodgers.
Mr. Rodgers.
Yeah.
We're going to change the name of the team to the New York Rodgers.
That'd be hilarious.
They cater to that guy. Then they make a trade for this guy who's a very nice football player. You don't make a trade for a player on an expiring contract in any sport unless you are going to get a long-term deal worked out. It doesn't make sense.
Hassan Reddick.
God, the Jets just know how to mess up everything. Before it even starts, it's a mess.
Let's see if this house is anti-flammable.
Yeah.
Oh, it does burn down.
And then Connor Hughes clearly sounds like a ball washer for the organization on this one, too. There's other guys that want to get a deal done. Yeah, everybody wants to get a deal done. This is not on Hassan Reddick. This is on the Jets. This is 100% on the Jets. You knew what the player wanted. You knew the player wasn't happy. Then you traded for him. Ain't going to change. Man still wants a long-term deal, deserves a long-term deal. Give him the long-term deal or let him sit out. And that's what he's going to do, and then you're going to fine him every day. How's that going to go over for everybody else in the locker room, too? You want to talk about other guys in the locker room not getting a contract. Now you're fighting with one of your premier players who you thought you were going to have on the team a year after you lost Aaron Rodgers after four games or four plays? I mean, the Jets are a glorious mess. They are just God's gift to sports talk radio.
Did you know there was a doctor on the radio station the other day?
There was.
Yeah.
And Tyreek Hill missed weeks 2 through 5 in 2019. Heard it in week 1. So this is a tight timeline for Hollywood Brown to return week 1. And I would actually be on the dubious side. I thought actually Tyreek Hill returned quicker than I would have thought. There's no additional surgery needed, but it's very sore. Is it possible to take an injection and play? Maybe. But I would go on the longer side of Tyreek Hill's 4 weeks. And as a matter of fact, it's not impossible they would choose to start Hollywood Brown on PUP for 4 weeks. But we'll see how it goes.
So I'm weird. Nice to meet you, Dusty Likens. Uh-huh. A lot of vagueness in that. Like, Tyreek Hill healed faster. Could he miss? Could he do this? And I just, for some reason, I'm driving home from the golf course or driving to the golf course, and I heard that. And I started thinking to myself, okay, this doctor, what if this guy wasn't a real doctor?
Uh-huh.
And so then Dr. Chow, by the way, was on Carrington.
But that the guy was fired like 6 times by the Chargers or something?
I don't know. So I'm starting to think to myself, What if we just had a random doctor on? And then I started thinking to myself, who are the best fictional doctors of all time?
There's some really good ones out there.
Because there's a lot of fictional doctors out there, boys.
Yeah.
913-586-7610. I'll give you a jump start to some of them. Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
That's a good fictional doctor.
I would be sick every day of my life if Jane Seymour was an actual doctor. I would just go out and, like, jump in traffic just so I could stay longer.
Right.
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew is a nice fictional doctor.
Mom.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a real doctor. Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil's a good one. Shawnee Mission North Legacy. There you go.
Tell me why you're cheating on your spouse.
I can give you a couple reasons.
He's got a 9-to-5. He makes a lot of money, and yet you are being an ass. Dr. Oz.
Good one.
Dr. Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million, Mr. Bond. Dr. Ock from Spider-Man.
Doc Ock.
Doc Holliday times
Doc Holliday.
Two.
There's a couple of Doc Holidays.
Yeah,
there's a
Holliday.
Pitcher and
a pitcher.
Yep.
Aviation. Doc from Snow White.
Yeah.
The Dwarf.
The Dwarf, yeah. One of the 7 dwarfs.
Yeah, can you name all 7?
Sleepy, Dopey, Dumpy, Lumpy.
Okay, we're done. Doogie Howser.
Yeah.
Turned into How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, Doogie Howser's good. Yeah.
Dr. Meredith Grey.
Okay.
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. Never saw, but my wife loves it. Yeah.
Tough Cat. Drove her car into a pond.
Oh,
underwater
wow.
Underwater for 12 hours.
You don't want to do that.
Underwater for 12 hours. Still lived. They're still making new seasons.
Sure, I'm buying that one.
Okay. Mm. And then my last doctor in the 913-586-7610, you can bring in yours, Dr. Lecter.
Dr. Lecter is a good one, too. Yeah, I like Dr. Rosen. He's a definite good doctor. There are some really good ones coming in on the text line as well. A lot of Dr. Peppers coming in as a great fictional doctor.
23 flavors.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre's real. He's not a fictional doctor.
Dr. Dre is not. Well, I mean, all those people were real, but I mean, he's not a doctor. Well, I guess he's a doctor of music, you can call him, right?
Yeah, Dr. Absolutely. Strange.
Yeah. Dr. Strangelove is another good one. Dr. Evil. Dr. Johnny Fever from WKRP days. I like him. Mm-hmm. Howard Hessman giving life to what a real radio DJ was like in the 70s.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
Dr. Who?
Dr. Seuss. He might not be real.
Yeah.
He's there. He's here. He's everywhere.
Is he a real doctor, though? That's the thing.
Dr. Frankenstein? A lot of people think Frankenstein is the name of the monster. It's not. Just monster.
Mm-hmm.
Dr.
Moonlight Doc Ram. That's another good one. I like that. That's a good pull right there.
Yeah. A lot of Dr. House,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Feelgood. Yeah.
You got to play the Dr. Feelgood song coming back.
Which we could do that.
He's going to make me feel all right.
Vesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at Rainer KC. Texan, I'm proud of you guys.
Dr. Emmett Brown.
That's great, right. Scott, Marty. No one calls me yellow. I'm proud of the Texan. You guys are wide
Dr.
awake.
Dr. Fraser Crane.
Yep. Hey, baby, I've been feeling the blues are calling. Toss salad and scrambled eggs.
You understand the song, why that? Those are the lyrics?
I don't know, but we'll get into it on the other side. Listen to Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. I see a lot of people out and about. A lot of people happy. School is back.
Big day, baby. School is back in session. Congratulations to the parents everywhere. Your kiddos are starting today and within the week, I guess.
Somebody brought up another good doctor. Dr. Leo Marvin. You don't get that reference? Mm-mm. What about Bob?
Oh, okay. Favorite movie ever. I was Bob growing up twice for Halloween.
How about that?
Wow,
how
you dressed as me for Halloween? You're a creep, man. I know you wanted the job, but you didn't have to dress as me for Halloween,
Goldfish
man.
Around my neck and everything,
that's
man.
Awesome.
God, I haven't watched that movie, God, I don't know, 30 God, years, so whatever good, it came out.
There's not a bet. There's a lot of good scenes in movies, but to me, the when they act like they have Tourette's in the bedroom, and then when he eats the dinner with the family and everybody just like,
I'll have to go back and watch that.
Oh,
now.
My God. That movie's great.
So good.
You went as him for Halloween?
At least once, maybe twice. It's my favorite movie as a kid.
All right.
Dr. Marvin. It's so great because that movie's so great because they started off with him festering off Bob to Dr. Marvin. Mm-hmm. And then the very end, it's Dr. Marvin festering yes, him off to somebody exactly. else. He's like, free at last. He blew up my lake house. He taught my kid how to dive. My neighbors love him, but they hate me. I love that movie. That's a great movie.
On vacation from baby my steps. Problems.
Yeah, how many times steps. Have you watched that movie, do you think?
Oh, I've probably seen it 5 to 6 times all the way through.
I was going to say 15 or 20.
Is it still one of those that pops up on TV, or am I going to have to look at Netflix for that?
I don't know.
One?
You might have to go to like 38 The Spot on a Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Six.
Yeah. Or today we're showing Dr. Bob or whatever. What about Bob?
I mean, Richard Dreyfuss is probably 50 in that movie.
Is Dreyfuss still around?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I didn't know. That's good. Yeah. He's great in that movie.
Yeah.
Bill Murray, fantastic. Bill Murray.
Yeah.
When I wake up. I know I'm going to be the man that wakes up.
What's the best Bill Murray movie?
Oh, it's Caddyshack.
For sure?
Yeah. No question.
Stat about that movie, him and Chevy Chase hated each other.
I'm sure.
And so they shot the scene where he's doing the cannonball coming. They shot that scene day one because Harold Ramis, R.I.P., said, I'm not going to have that sort of chemistry on my set. We're going to get this over with immediately.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah,
wow.
Reports are that Chevy Chase was quite the ass.
Not back in the day.
Still
is. Yeah. Like, people do not like working with that guy.
He
doesn't even follow, like, the script. He just does what he wants. I mean, that's why he's so talented, though.
He also said that... He said to, what's his name, the creator of Saturday Night Live, I'm drawing a blank.
Lorne Michaels.
Yeah. He told Lorne Michaels, he goes, I don't think I'm going to do another year of this. This show won't last.
Well, there was touch and go there for a while. There were some bad casts of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. He's kind of like the other guy from American Idol. He's like, you know what, Ryan Seacrest, you can do
you
this.
Can I have I this one. Yeah.
Other things.
I was trying to think of that guy's name yesterday. We were talking about something, and I wanted to bring him up. And years ago, we had him on the show, and we talked about the American Idol and all that kind of he didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, he's like, well, now Ryan that's going to be the host of Wheel of Fortune.
Right. What was that guy's name?
Irrelevant.
God.
Wasn't there a drummer for the Beatles before Ringo who left? I was like,
Yes, his name was Leo Chenal.
Okay. You know when Bob gets ate up because he just takes his head and looks the other way to paint the scene. But speaking of things that are here and
Phil Collins was the original drummer for the Beatles. Yeah. Go up and look that up. They're both British and everything. Yeah. Phil Collins was the original drummer. And then they're like, man, I don't know if you're that good. We've got this guy Ringo who we think is better. So they replace Phil Collins. Greatest drum solo of all time happens to be Phil Collins. And, you know, I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord.
Quiet is my favorite part.
Brian Dunkelman.
That's it, yeah.
Mm.
What's he doing now?
The Olympics are over. They're gone. They're done with. After watching it, is there a sport that may... Because, like, that's what I think the best part about the Olympics is. The final topic of the Olympics on here on Festival in the Morning it's over with, but the best, I think the beauty about the Olympics, summer and winter, is that you find yourself watching something that either you didn't know existed or didn't know that you would enjoy.
Right.
Or you find yourself watching something going like, why the hell is this in the Olympics? If there was a sport in the Olympics currently that you could get rid of, what would it be?
I've got six.
Wow.
I've got six that I want to get rid of.
Okay? Go fish.
Number one for me is fencing. I just don't get it, man.
Foisted it for you.
Yeah, it's not for me, man. It just, you know, whatever. So I would dump that. And then I would get rid of these sports, and there's a reason why. Badminton, handball, rhythmic gymnastics, table tennis, and trampoline. I would get rid of all of those because the United States has never meddled in any of them, so gone.
Okay.
I only want the sports we dominate in. Yeah, I took a lot of pride to myself of winning the medals the way that we did, right? Like, we housed every other country. Yes, we were tied with China at 40 golds apiece, mm-hmm. but when you look at total medals, we housed everybody. And so if we're not meddling in sports, and we've got the Olympics coming up in L.A., we're bouncing the sports that we don't meddle in. Get them suckers out of here to give us more opportunity to add more medals and take away from the other countries.
I love that, yeah.
Go ahead, Matt.
I'd go badminton. Yeah, so it's on his list. Yeah, it's just not fun to watch, honestly.
Yeah, it really isn't fun to watch either, yeah.
Pickleball, I don't know if you've watched that. I think they're trying to add that. I think that's even more boring to watch. So pickleball, if they add that, get rid of it.
Do you like tennis, though?
Yeah, I'm down with tennis.
You do? You're okay, but why do you like tennis, but you don't like those other two? Because the concept is very similar.
It's the same,
you know?
Yeah. I guess just a bigger court feels like it's better athletes. More speed on the ball?
I find men's tennis very, very hard to watch.
Really?
It's ace after ace after ace after ace. Like, I know they're hitting the ball really, really hard, but, like, it just seems to me it's kind of boring. That's just my
take. A lot of nice aces in tennis.
That's all it is for men's tennis. Ace, ace, ace.
I mean, it's fun to watch when it's... I mean, when they... I actually enjoy, like, the majors of tennis. I don't watch, like, the random tournaments, but I'll watch all the majors.
Same.
I would get rid of handball. I know that was on your list. It looks like independent soccer league. Like, I don't understand it. I understand it's like you throw, like, whatever, like there's a little scooper or whatever, but I could get rid of that and some of these other sports because they're getting ready to add new sports. They're adding baseball and softball.
Right.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
They're adding flag football.
The baseball thing we'll get into, they're already screwing that up.
They're trying to. Mm-hmm. Flag football, interesting to see how they do that, like what players will play. Lacrosse.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
that
a
might
good
get
sport.
Me to try to understand lacrosse. I always thought of it as a rich man's sport or an upper northeast sport.
It was. When I was growing up, I went to a public high school. We didn't have the lacrosse, but all the upper crust, the academies and the richer schools all had lacrosse. You know, it was like back in the day, it really was one of those rich kids' sports. And it's slowly, slowly moved out west. You know, it's still, I think, a very northeast type of sport, but it's a lot of fun to watch. It really is. It's a good sport.
And then the other two sports will be cricket and squash. Yeah. Cricket's actually amazing to watch. I don't know what's going on, but I don't need to because it's just so insanely entertaining.
I had a British guy try to explain to me what cricket was. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what the hell he was talking about. Like, I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying, sir. I have no idea what you mean. I have no idea what this sport is about. Basically, you sit there and watch and people just play and then it's over. And you don't even, like, when it's over, how it's over, any of that kind of stuff. Like, those games go on and on and on. They're like, it's baseball. No, it's not baseball at all.
A lot of people hate breakdancing.
Why?
I don't know. I thought the Australian lady was hilarious.
I thought that was great. Why do people get mad at that?
Because it's not normal.
So we get mad at things that aren't normal? You're not normal. I'm not normal.
Do you know how many people get mad at me, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know how many times
my mother said dusty blanking lichens? A lot of times,
but,
dude.
But, like people were mad about that breakdancer. She did exactly what she wanted to do. She got the attention. She did her rhythmic dance, and boom, we move on. Like, people losing sleep over that, I don't understand that. Why you get yourself worked up in a lather over something you didn't know existed 48 minutes before it went on, you know? And they're not going to have breakdancing, I guess, in the LA Olympics. They're moving on from that. I loved it. I thought it was as entertaining as anything in the Olympics, man.
So is that one and done?
I guess so, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I thought it was very interesting and entertaining. I like the breakdancing in the Olympics. I just don't know why people get so mad over that kind of stuff. Like the venom and the anger and the bad that people were having over that Australian woman dancing. I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it. What do you care?
I mean, I didn't watch 1 second of it. I just went to Twitter and saw like a couple of like highlights. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, she was
great.
I'm
not going to go out of my way, but yeah. the lady that was on, I think she was on Fallon either last night or the night before. I mean, 15 seconds of 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Soak it up.
Yeah.
We'll get into what Ice Cube had to say a little bit later on with the 3-on-3 challenge, which we've seen that in the Olympics. Maybe that can get elevated
that
again.
That needs to get better.
Yep.
That to me was the biggest dud of the Olympics was that 3-on-3 basketball thing.
Maybe
well, unless you're going to do it the right way. Like, I think Adam Silver's wheels were spinning a little bit. How do we get NBA players involved in this?
Well, it's like if Caitlin Clark wasn't on the WNBA or the women's U.S. team, why wasn't she on the 3-on-3 team?
Could you imagine if her and Angel Reese were on a 3-on-3 team?
Oh,
and they just
my
went
God. That would have been awesome. But they didn't want those two to embarrass the other team, you know?
No, then they'd be getting, you know, endorsements.
Yeah.
We dive back into the Royals and this run that is the push for the postseason. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, we're damn glad to have you here on Fesco in the Morning on a Tuesday.
Storm's coming, Dusty.
I hope so.
Hope you have your windows up.
No, they're not down. Alan Carr, Derek's brother, with the traffic report. I was talking to my buddy yesterday. We were sitting there at the house, and I was like,
"You're discussing our traffic reporter with buddy."
No,
I like
no,
that.
No, hear me out.
So, how's that, Alan Carr? Be honest.
So he's sitting there, and he's on Twitter on his phone, and he goes, "I had no idea that Ian Eagle's son was doing the calling for the Olympics." I'm pretty sure he's like 20 or 21.
He's very young, 22, 23.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, you know the game we play where it's like if somebody says like a random name, we're like, oh, yeah, that's I told Bob. I was like, yeah, that's – is that Ian's like cousin? And then I said – Bob looked at me and goes, no, it's his son. And I was like, oh, so the game we play actually – he goes – and then he goes, well, that's perfect because like Fesco's always known to like say the wrong name when it comes to the obvious.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, the first time in my life because like, you know, somebody like, oh, yeah. David Batista. I'm like, oh, yeah, Joey's brother.
Joey's brother,
like,
yeah.
No, what? Huh? Yeah. I'm like, oh, you don't get the joke.
Yeah, no, Ian. Ian's one of the greatest people
and
ever,
And I did
too.
See that now, you know, we talk about the Olympics and we wrap up our Olympic coverage here on 610 Sports Radio.
Brought to you by?
Nobody, but somebody could step up.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to be on FM now.
Yeah. Brought to you by the parking spot. The parking spot, we have you covered. I will say this. The Olympics are great because it introduces a lot of things to the world. I saw a report yesterday that major networks are now seeking Dwayne Wade because of how great he was with the Olympic coverage of basketball.
Him and Noah Eagle were fantastic.
That might be your team.
That they were great.
That's
the duo. They're better than any. I mean, Mike Breen is really good.
I think Harlan and Reggie are good, or whoever he's
with.
Yeah,
they are, but
they're really good.
But TNT's going away, after this year. I don't know if Kevin's going to continue to do the NBA on it. I hope he does.
I hope so.
Kevin's really good. But, I mean, like, for a first go at it, they're really good, man. Like, Noah Eagle's a superstar. And if he's anything like his dad, he's a superhuman being, too. And I can't stress that enough about Ian and Kevin, two great human beings, right? But I thought Noah Eagle, like, you talk about who the winner of the Olympics was. Noah Eagle was the big winner. I think Dwayne Wade was the big winner of the Olympics. Too, like those guys together were fantastic. Like Dusty and I, like they'd never started anything. And look how good Dusty and I are from the start, right? Like, oh no, we're better than Noah and Dwayne Wade. They only had 90 minutes to do a game. We get 4 hours a day.
Yep.
Well, and they don't have your producer, so
that's exactly right.
That's really the key here. Come on,
say Max the engine.
Yeah, from the 620, Noah Eagle is way better than Jack Collinsworth. Jack Collinsworth sucks. Noah Eagle is a superstar. It's night and day. Jack Collinsworth is brutal.
Wow, he's terrible.
Do you think he's good? I think he sucks.
I think he's terrible.
That's nothing. I think the whole NBC Sunday Night Football crew sucks.
That's really, I think his job is nothing. I don't think he necessarily sucks. I just don't know why you're there.
There are three reasons I don't like Jack Collinsworth. One, I read a report when he went to Notre Dame, he basically got the like sideline job for the football team because his dad
of
was
course.
Chris.
Yeah,
where
right,
there's
yeah.
probably a bunch of other kids that were much more talented.
Absolutely.
Number two is like what Mac just said, his role on Sunday Night Football is like very minute, and it's like basically like, all right, let's get into the fantasy plays of the day.
And what the fans think
jacket.
Of the Applebee's thing, yeah. Sweet brown jacket is right.
Yeah. the other one is that it's Jack J-A-C,
yeah.
Not that it's anything against Mac, M-A-C.
But that, just, we got Jack Caglione, who's J-A-C, isn't he?
Yeah, but he hits cranks.
Yeah, he does. Jack Collinsworth is
a crank.
Yeah, he's terrible. Like, he really is. He is not good at that job. But I don't think anybody, other than, like, Chris Sims, who I do like because I found Chris Sims. Josh and I did back in the day. They used to call us and say, Chris Sims is doing the KU Baylor game on like Fox Sports 3. Would you put him on? Sure. You know, right? So you form that relationship. It's nice to see his kind of career blossom like it has. But for the most part, that NBC Football Night in America show is god awful. Mm-hmm. It is. There are no redeeming qualities about that show whatsoever. Tony Dungy literally adds nothing.
He looks like an alien.
Broadcast. He's terrible. He adds nothing. Jack Collinsworth isn't any good. They've got Rodney Harrison miscast in that whole thing. He needs to be more on the set and more the analyst guy. Like, they could do a lot because Rodney Harrison actually brings opinions to the party, right? Mm-hmm. God, it's just a mess. So Noah Eagle, fantastic. Jack Collinsworth, not.
I had an opinion the other night that I think there's a way for this Kansas City Royals team to really bring, because what do we talk about with this show? We want to be, you know, we want to be relatable. We want to be, we have three different guys on this show that are three different decades of age. We've got a 40-some, a 30-some, and a 20-some. Mac and I don't really know what it was like with the Royals and Yankees rivalry. And
neither do I, though.
Right? Yeah. You were just a young spring chicken.
I mean, I was born in 77. Right. That rivalry was pretty much over when I was born.
And I'm starting to see it before it's come to fruition here, because I watched Yankees last night get absolutely housed by the...
You and I were talking about that. Yeah. Like you were going to put some money on the Yankees. I'm like, what if they lose to the White Sox? They got rung.
They got rung.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this last night. I don't remember the Yankee-Royal rivalry, but I've always heard about it. Like, my dad hates the Yankees.
My dad always would talk about the Royals, too. Not the Red Sox, but he would talk about the Yankees-Royals rivalry.
And we have a rivalry brewing, right? Because the Royals need this postseason run. This city needs this postseason run, and it's been fun. And we're finding ourselves slowly but surely sliding into what might be a Yankee Royal rivalry, because baseball needs the small market teams in the playoffs. I truly believe that. You need a hero.
You need a hero to root for.
Because nobody wants to see Philly win it. Nobody wants to see the Dodgers win it. I mean,
people do get bored with that on the national scene.
For crap's
sake,
Mookie Betts comes back in his first game last night, hits a bomb.
Of course.
And then 5 minutes later, Otani hits a bomb. It's like, oh, great.
Did you see the one Otani hit last night? Like, it's still going, yeah.
Yeah, and who are the two front runners for the MVP of the American League?
Well, it's Judge and it's Bobby Witt.
And Judge plays for the Yankees, uh-huh. and Bobby Witt Jr. plays for the Royals. Uh-huh. And in the 70s, it was always the Royals were a good team in the AL, and the Yankees were a good team, but you just never could beat the Yankees. And then there was the time they did, and Pawtek and the guys jumping at the fountains. And I heard those stories all the time. I'm like, well, the Yankees never been really relevant in my life, because when the Royals were good and they were going to the playoffs, the Yankees were nowhere to be found. And then when the Yankees were good in all those years, the Royals were nowhere to be found. Uh-huh. And now both teams are good. There is a scenario where both teams could play. And baseball will absolutely love this. I truly believe this from the bottom of my heart, that if Bobby Witt Jr. can go into the Bronx Stadium and face off against Aaron Judge and be the better player, Bobby Witt Jr. will then solidify himself as the face of baseball, because he will have done it in New York. Hopefully they win. And we will see the superstar in the rising that we were watching in Kansas City, and it'll be against the Yankees. The flip side of that is the Royals go to the Yankees and get their ass kicked, Aaron Judge is better, than it's like,
see, we told you, right?
Damn Yankees. Yeah. My dad was always right. My grandpa was right. And I think that's great for this postseason run. That's where we're at, because it's also the regular season run where it's, Judge, yeah, he's the MVP, hits home runs, plays in a small ballpark. Well, Bobby Witt Jr., hold my beer. He plays in a giant ballpark, has all these numbers. So that rivalry is kind of brewing itself back up again.
Well, I think it's important this year when we start looking at postseason and what's going on here in Kansas City. I don't think it's important for the Royals to make the postseason. I think it's important for Bobby Witt to make the postseason, because if we want him to be the star of baseball, and that's what we're clamoring for, we truly want him to be the next Patrick Mahomes again. Like, we can't have anything middle of the road here in Kansas City, because we've been spoiled, right? It's either go to the Super Bowl and have the greatest quarterback of all time, or be met and have no good quarterback, right? Mm. And in baseball, it's either lose 100 games or win the World Series or go to the World Series. That's what we've been saddled with, right? It's either been the best of the best or the worst of the worst on both sides of the parking lot. Now we have the best of the best and the best of the best at Arrowhead, and now we're starting to feel like, all right, maybe we got the best of the best when it comes to Major League Baseball. Can he bring the team along with him? And that's why I think it's important for Bobby Witt to make the postseason, because if we truly want him to be the face of baseball and to be this big time star in baseball that knocks Otani down, that knocks Judge down, that knocks Soto down, that knocks, I dare say, Trout, Bryce Harper, guys like that, you know, off the mantle of the household names of baseball, Bobby Witt Jr. needs to lead this team into the postseason and get into the postseason, not just once, but become a mainstay in the postseason. That's how all the greats in sports are truly judged, right? You're judged by what you do in the postseason. And so I know it sounds ridiculous to say it's not important for the Royals to make the postseason, but it is important for Bobby Witt to make the postseason. But that's where I am right now, because he's on the cusp of being that face of Major League Baseball and being the greatest player in baseball. But if your team isn't getting you into the postseason and you're not getting those experiences in the postseason and you're not playing in front of that national audience, it's going to be hard for the national audience that's dug in on I-95 to get outside of that corridor and think of anything else outside of that area when it comes to Major League Baseball. So I think it is vital for Bobby Witt to get into the postseason so we can showcase him on a national stage. He can showcase himself on a national stage. And that's what I want.
And the best part about it is you don't have to wait till the postseason, because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, September 9th, 10th, and 11th, the Royals will play at New York for three. That game on 9/11 will be on Prime Video when they play those three in New York. Coming up on the other side, Bob's good friend Dan Orlovsky has a rankings that, well, we all just kind of disagree, because it's Dano striking early in the football season. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, you're listening to 610 Sports Radio. And we're back on the somber sounds of the morning.
I like this music.
This is the... Oh.
There it is. It's frozen.
This is Childish Gambino?
Yes.
That's right. Tony, man, sign me up for your music bingo team. As long as it's on a Friday.
Yeah, you're good with that, huh? I am terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Could you get the song? Stuff.
No, I'm not good at trivia. I'm not good at anything.
I can't get the song,
stuff.
But I got Gambino.
That's good.
Because you hear his voice, you think it's Macy Gray.
Oh, it does sound like Macy Gray a lot. Whatever happened to her?
I don't know. I think she's Macy Silver now.
I think you tried it. Whatever the words were.
Try to say goodbye and I choke. I try to walk away and I stumble.
Yeah.
Babe, I try to hide it. It's clear. I love that song. I loved her. Although my first real love was Toni Braxton.
Really?
Yep. Then Halle Berry. Welcome back into Fesco in the Morning. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, and Mac Morey with you on this lovely, maybe not so lovely, the wind is starting to pick up, so I believe the weather is starting to knock
Look at the trees starting to go, yeah.
Yep. Good nap day, Mac.
I'm ready.
Bro, I need my nap. Mom's still out of town. Got the whole king-size bed to myself.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to think, because I don't tend to be a huge nap guy, but I'm thinking that, like, I got to figure out when to shut it off at some point during the week as I'm starting to transition into this new role.
You got to take a 20-minute nap every day, and that's it. Nothing longer.
Yeah, I read a study, so I do this. I get into my own brain here. And I read a study that says the 30-minute nap is the best possible nap, because anything longer, your body thinks that you're going to bed. So then when you wake up, that's why you have that hungover feeling what that feeling is.
Yeah.
But on a day like today, you can take that 30 minutes and multiply it by two.
Yeah, you can sleep all day on something like this.
I tend to go home and do 2.5 miles. I tend to do some other things as well for exercises, like some bands, whatever. And
you got one of those like old Seinfeld bands on the door there.
Resistant bands, I think is what they're called.
The bands de resistance.
Yeah.
It's French. It's going to be in the Olympics.
Bands make her dance. But today's one of those days where I don't know if I'm going to be able to do 2.5 miles outside.
You need to suck it up.
It's going to be pouring and lightning.
Wear a slicker.
It's lightning.
Slicker.
No.
There's not going to be lightning. By the time we get out of here, it's going to be cleared up.
I don't even know what a Snickers is.
Slicker.
Oh. Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Bob, our guy, Dan Orlovsky's back at it. Took him 6 months to get back in there.
Get back at it.
Ranking NFL quarterbacks by trait, best arm, accuracy, and more. Let's pump the brakes. We know who number one is. Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The list gets a little shaky. Number two is Josh Allen. I don't disagree with that. I think Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in the NFL. This is when it gets a little dicey to me, because he has Justin Herbert at third.
Right. He's got a good arm.
But is it accurate?
What, we're talking arm strength, or we talk, which one are you looking at? Because arm strength, Justin Herbert's got a, you know, a hell of an arm.
He's got a hose. Yes.
Cannon.
Got a hose.
I don't know that Aaron Rodgers has a strong arm.
Right. Will Levi's is number six.
He's six on the list.
Now that's true.
Now, he does have...
puts mayonnaise in his coffee.
But Beakley says he has Mack trucks for biceps, and he does.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. Yeah. And he's thrown some cool camp throws this year,
right.
So I think they're a little excited. Mack would know more than us about Will this year in Tennessee. It's finally his job. Tannehill's no longer an issue, and he's got the full year to do it. Baker Mayfield at seven? I didn't know Baker had a hose.
Ridiculous.
He does. You saw him show it off in Lawrence that day.
Lawrence merited that. They didn't let the kid shake his hands.
Oh, that was great. I loved it.
They're like, don't you dare shake Baker Mayfield's hand. Anthony Richardson has the eighth strongest arm. I don't think we've seen enough of it.
I don't either.
Dak Prescott at 9, Lamar Jackson at 10 with arm strength.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. That's fine. But as long as Patrick Mahomes is number one on that list, you can have the
You
can have the rest of them.
Ready
right?
for this one? Ball placement.
I got good ball placement.
I would assume this is accuracy. Number one, Joe Burrow.
No, he says right there, there's a difference between accuracy and ball placement, but Dustin.
Accuracy is the ability to throw the ball to your guy while ball placement is keeping it away from the defender. Huh?
See, this is where I bounce on stuff like this.
And I'm glad that you threw that shot at me because I was getting into that. What? An accurate quarterback gets the pass to a spot where his receiver can make the catch. A quarterback with a strong ball placement gets the pass to a spot where only his receiver can make the catch. Come again? Number two is Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, you just lost this list.
Okay.
Yeah. Moving on.
Okay.
How many arm punts have we seen to Tyreek where Tyreek waits for 5 seconds?
Tua took the whole like meme of F it Tyreek down there somewhere.
Yeah.
Mechanics. Not the guys that fix your car.
Yeah. Now, Mahomes isn't even on the list.
Not on the list.
Nah, and nor should he be. I mean, like, you don't look at Patrick Mahomes and go, that's how you play the quarterback position, because nobody can do what he does, right? If you're trying to go out there and be Patrick Mahomes, you're screwing yourself.
And the reason he doesn't have Patrick Mahomes on this is because he says mechanics is someone who has the best footwork. Patrick Mahomes is an anomaly.
Yeah.
At one point, Patrick Mahomes was the only quarterback with a higher rate of improvisational throws of over like 49%, and it was like 70% accuracy
The guy makes plays happen. Like, so if you don't want to put him on the list of accuracy or whatever the hell we're talking about, I'm fine with that. Patrick, that's not his game.
He moves on to decision-making with the football.
Right.
How is Mahomes seventh on the list? How many times in our life?
He can't read a defense, apparently, is what it says.
How many times in our life have we had these two conversations about Patrick Mahomes? Photogenic memory, or is it photographic?
Photographic.
Photographic memory. I have a photogenic memory, but he has a photographic. Remember when we see the first half against the old Bill Belichick defense with Tom Brady on the offense, and it was like, well, the first quarter, Mahomes was absolutely nothing. Then all of a sudden, Mahomes figures it out. Mm. Guess Dan Orlovsky doesn't remember those plays. Probably doesn't remember that he ran out of the end zone for a safety either.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers.
So hang on a second. Mahomes is getting knocked on this list.
Yeah, for no footwork and no decision-making. No,
but also the reason he's getting knocked for decision-making is because he threw more passes to open receivers last season. 300 of his 579 targets went to pass catchers with at least 3 yards of separation. Sounds like a good plan.
Wait, what?
Sounds like good ball placement.
Sounds like a really good plan. Throw it to the guy who's open the most.
Mm-hmm. And then I don't understand this, because how can you have decision-making with a football, but then the next category is pocket presence, and Patrick Mahomes is number one? Am I just not into football anymore? Like, do I just not understand football? I'm just confused.
I don't consider Mahomes a pocket passer. I think Patrick Mahomes is a playmaker. He gets the snap. He looks around. He senses pressure. He moves. Does a good job with that. Really good job with that. He's not a pocket passer. There aren't pocket passers really in the NFL anymore. Maybe Rodgers is at this point, but
Burrow,
And then he ends the list with second reaction ability, and Patrick Mahomes is number one, which would be like reading.
Whatever. The one that bothers me the most is the rushing ability, where he has Patrick Mahomes at number six on the list, right?
Yeah.
And I look at that and I go, okay, let's discuss here and have a conversation real fast about what rushing the football means. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best running quarterback in the NFL. And I don't think he's the fastest. I don't think he's the flashiest. But every time he runs the football, it is a dagger in the heart of the opponent. And they watch their opponent bleed out. Third and seven, Patrick Mahomes senses it, rushes, gets 8 yards. Third and nine, Patrick Mahomes gets 10. He knows where the sticks are. He knows how to preserve his body. He's not going to make the highlight reels, but the best play that everybody talks about in Patrick Mahomes' career is the run against Tennessee. That's what everybody talks about. And those are the type of plays that Patrick Mahomes utilizes when he uses his legs. They are heartbreakers. They are devastating. They are backbreakers. They are absolute daggers in the heart of the opponent. That's why Patrick Mahomes is the best runner in the NFL.
Not only that, he like solidified the Super Bowl against Philadelphia with like the longest run of his career.
That's right. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is the best running quarterback in the NFL.
You know what my favorite prop bet is for the Chiefs every Sunday is over rushing yards for Patrick Mahomes. Because it always starts off at like 18.5, and then it gets up to like 22.5, and it always seems to hit. Mm-hmm. You just got to figure out the matchup, which is the toughest part about gambling.
But it's always really close. Like you think, oh, 22.5, oh, he's going to blow that away, right?
Yeah.
Then he gets 23.
Somebody at text line says, did you say pornographic memory? Yes.
Yes.
Every time he runs, it's always positive yards.
It is. I mean, Patrick Mahomes just like, I've told people this for years. I said, sometimes watch a Chiefs game from the perspective of the opposing fan. Mm-hmm. And you've got third and seven and you're feeling good and Mahomes is in the shotgun and you think, all right, we're going to get off the field. And then all of a sudden things break down and Patrick Mahomes picks up 8 yards and runs out of bounds. First and 10, move the sticks. Devastating. His runs are devastating. And that's why, to me, he's the best runner in the NFL.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
UDAF-HD2 Liberty.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run! For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.